York City, border to border, and coast to coast. You're connected with Tom Sullivan.
Oh, yes, you are. Hi. How are you? Happy Tuesday, the 21st day of November, year of our Lord 2017. My name is Tom Sullivan. Yes, we're here. Yep. Just because half the country has already started, I don't know. Are you on the way to Grandma's house already? I mean, I think a lot of people are. I think the people are, the traveling has already started. Because tomorrow is, Bill always asks, the busiest travel day of the year. Because everybody is off on the road Wednesday or in the air tomorrow, so they can get to wherever their destination is, so they can sit around and overstuff themselves on Thursday. And then there are people like me that wait until Thursday, and you know, I mean, you don't have to be there until dinner. So I know you walk in. You know, you don't sit around and visit all day. You don't watch some NFL game. You don't watch any of that stuff. You don't do anything. You just fly in or drive in, get there. You call and you say, whoever's hosting Thanksgiving dinner, say, what time is dinner? And you arrive like 5 minutes before. You sit down. You have dinner. You thank everybody. And you leave. There you go. There's your Thanksgiving Oh, it's not just about the meal. So I think a lot of people dread the idea of being on the road tomorrow with everybody else, or being at the airport tomorrow with everybody else. So I think everybody is, a bunch of people are already, if they haven't already, there are people yesterday, today. Look, I'm just trying to avoid the elephant in the room. I'm trying to talk about happy Thanksgiving. I'm trying to talk about wonderful, sweet things. But nope, we've got, man, one thing after another. Yesterday, right in the final hour of the show, we had the Charlie Rose story come out. He was suspended. Today he was fired by both CBS and PBS. And It's been interesting to watch, because now we have a super-duper conservative Republican, Roy Moore. We've got a super-duper Democrat, Harvey Weinstein. We got a whole bunch of people in between that are Hollywood people. I presume Kevin Spacey. I don't know. Is he a Democrat? Just because he's in Hollywood? I have no idea. So, but you get into the political part of this, and it was a week or two, maybe 3 weeks ago now. I've lost track. You need a scorecard to keep track of all the names involved in this. But what you have is the story I did 2-3 weeks ago about morality should be number one, but so many people have put their party above morality. And that's where I'm starting to sniff a little bit of that coming out from different places today, because of the fact that we have Al Franken. And then we add to Al Franken stories that everybody's going, we can't confirm. BuzzFeed is out with people complaining about Congressman John Conyers from Michigan. Believe he is the longest serving member of the House. He's been there forever. And he does acknowledge that there has been a settlement made with somebody. But because of the fact that there is a non-disclosure agreement, that means he can't talk about it and the accuser can't talk about it. And so we never find out anything about what it was. But remember, we talked about this. Congressman Jackie Speier was the first one to bring up the fact that there was $15 million paid out from taxpayers for congressional people that have had to settle various harassment claims. So John Conyers shows up. It is a 27 $100,000 settlement. So when it comes to numbers, I guess you just don't get as much money from Congress. But the other story behind this is BuzzFeed, says that 4 signed affidavits, 3 which are notarized, from former staff members that allege that Conyers, who is the ranking Democrat on the House Judiciary Committee, repeatedly made sexual advances to female staff that included requests for sexual favors, contacting and transporting other women with whom they believe Conyers was having affairs, caressing their hands sexually and rubbing their legs and backs in public. 4 people involved in the case verified the documents are authentic. But apparently the way this worked was, instead of having the House pay the money, Conyers put this woman on his payroll for 3 years to pay the $27,000, one-third, one-third, and one-third over 3 years, so that it was hidden in his office budget. And I can't help but wonder, all right, we know about the $15 million that was paid out. How many more of them paid out this way, where nobody really knows what the total number is? Have no idea. I mean, the story about Conyers gets even weirder. It says, in her complaint, the former employee said Conyers repeatedly asked her for sexual favors, often asked her to join him in a hotel room. On one occasion, she alleges that Conyers asked her to work out of his room for the evening, but when she arrived, the congressman started talking about his sexual desires. She alleged he then told her she needed to touch him or find a woman who would meet his sexual demands. So he was wanting to pimp out the woman, which these stories are getting more awkward every single day. So the bottom line out of all of this is, there is, if you work in Congress and you want to make a complaint about a member, you have to go to the Office of Compliance. And according to reporters who work in Washington, in the Capitol, say they have no idea where the Office of Compliance is, where it is, who is it. One reporter said it's a very small office, very difficult for people to find. But it's all one big giant cover-up. And that you have to, before you can even start going through the process of the complaint, you have to right up front sign a non-disclosure agreement. I will never tell anybody about this, ever, ever, ever. So, once again, Congress operates by a separate set of rules. But let me go to where I want to go with this today, rather than there's the Conyers deal. But Elizabeth Warren says she's not sure whether Al Franken should resign. Look how fast CBS and NPR dealt with Charlie Rose. In less than 24 hours, bam, gone. Suspended. A few hours later, fired. They don't mess around. So why is it that the private sector, and this is the same with Harvey Weinstein, this is the same with that guy who ran Amazon's film unit, this is the same with Kevin Spacey, this is the same, go right down the list. They get rid of them instantly. They don't mess around, but Congress, for some reason, is not able to operate like the private sector. So then I go to, and this is where I really want to try and get your feedback on. There's an article by Ruth Marcus, she's an opinion writer for the Washington Post, and the headline of her story today is, "So what should happen to Al Franken?" Really? You have to ask? Why didn't you write an article, "So what should happen to Charlie Rose? Or Harvey Weinstein, or Kevin Spacey, or go down the list?" Nobody sat around and thought, now what should we do? Well, the difference is, this is the Washington Post, and we're dealing with a prominent Democrat senator. That's why she's asking the question, what should happen to Al Franken? And the essence of her op-ed today is she writes about Anita Hill and Clarence Thomas, Monica Lewinsky and Bill Clinton. She says, this time it feels different. So I think she's more than happy to throw Roy Moore under the bus. And Roy Moore is finally starting to come out and bring out some people that said, a former manager of the mall that said, he was never banned from the mall. So you've got people with very credible stories, very credible people with different views. But I think that's what all this is about. But it comes down to, we're starting to get into, because of the tsunami of all these accusations, about just exactly what is sexual harassment. And I don't think there is a clear answer. But what Ruth Marcus is getting to is Al Franken groping women. Is that on a level, we're gradient levels of sexual harassment? If I say something to you that's offensive, is that the same as somebody raping you? No. So, all right, if they're not the same, then is groping you the same as, I mean, we go down the list of what is sexual harassment, and because of the fact that there are different types and different kinds of sexual harassment, should the punishment be different for each one of these? This is the thing. The other part with Charlie Rose, I mean, now the stories there are pretty gross. Pretty gross. So should we have different levels of reaction to these people, or does it look like we're playing favorites because of the fact that they're on your team? Ruth Marcus, Washington Post. I don't know, Al Franken, I mean, you know, it feels different. Phone number is 855-295-6600. Phone numbers, email address, all the links to the show you can find on my website, TomSullivan.com.
Unpredictable, unprecedented, undeniable. Tom Sullivan.
So the question now becomes, and Ruth Marcus brings it up in the Washington Post today, so what should happen to Al Franken? And my question for you is a pretty obvious answer. Are there gradients to sexual harassment? And of course there are. Yeah, the answer is obviously yes. So then the question is, if there are gradients to sexual harassment, are there gradients to the punishment? And this is where Ruth Marcus is talking about the fact that the debate involves the question of what should happen to those guilty of misbehavior. And the tendency is, when it comes to revolutions, as she says, that's what we're in right now, is that we tend to overcorrect for past sins. And if society once ignored sexual harassment, one risk, and she writes, now evident in the case of Al Franken, is overcompensating for earlier apathy. So she's going, they're being too tough on Al Franken, I'm telling you. Then there's an article in the Washington Post by Alyssa Rosenberg. No man accused of sexually harassing a woman is irreplaceable, not even Al Franken. She wants Al Franken gone. Then another one by Kate Harding. I am a feminist. I study rape culture. I don't want Al Franken to resign. Why? Because it's the same thing with Roy Moore, is if he is of your party, well, we need him for the votes. If he's not from your party, how can you possibly put politics over your morality? So should there be different punishments? Should Charlie Rose have been fired within 24 hours? Here's on Morning Joe, Ruth Marcus this morning from the Washington Post, making the argument there is a difference between Roy Moore and Al Franken.
I think that, for example, when you look at the allegations involving Roy Moore, first of all, there's no real possibility for a trial. And second of all, we don't have a proof beyond a reasonable doubt standard in deciding who to elect. You just use your judgment. And anybody can listen to those women, watch that incredibly poignant interview, and make a decision about who's telling the truth. The women are clearly telling the truth. In a situation that's much more ambiguous, where you, like, for example, Franken, where you do have this allegation and it was before he was in the Senate, I do think it's fair to say there's a process that involves the Senate Ethics Committee where we can have, you know, something that looks like a little bit more due process, where things are, the allegations are not as serious and they're more ambiguous. So let's use process when we have process.
So in other words, what Ruth Marcus from the Washington Post is saying, that she believes the women without any question that are accusing Roy Moore, but the women that are accusing Al Franken, it's more ambiguous. In other words, I'm not sure if I believe them. Two different women, don't know each other. I suspect there will be more. Charlie Rose, there were three or four different news organizations working on the story. It was bubbling up. Washington Post jumped out with it yesterday at 5 o'clock because they knew if they didn't, they would be scooped by everybody else. But there's apparently 12 other women on top of the 8 that came forward to the Washington Post. 12 others have come forward saying, yeah, well, now that Charlie Rose has been outed, let me tell you my story with him. 12 more. So here we go. The Washington Post, Ruth Marcus, is already saying the women that are accusing Roy Moore are credible. The women that are accusing Al Franken, ambiguous. We're not going to get anywhere with this, folks, because this is a woman who is picking and choosing who she believes, depending upon if it's on her side of the aisle or the other side. Samantha in California. Samantha, hi, welcome. You're on the Tom Sullivan Show.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for having me.
You bet.
Hi. I'm from Sacramento. Love your show. I just wanted to say thanks because we've been talking about this for the last few days, and you've read a couple of my tweets on air, so I really appreciate that.
Welcome.
I wanted to talk about the degrees of punishment that you were discussing.
Yep, but real quick, because unfortunately we're coming up on the bottom of the hour and they're going to cut me off. So
okay, I'll make it quick.
Okay.
In my opinion, I feel like when it gets to the point that the perpetrator has actually physically touched the woman, that it becomes sexual assault rather than sexual harassment.
I agree. I totally agree. Mm-hmm. If I say something to you that's offensive, is a lot different than me putting my hands on you. I think. All right, we're up against the clock. All right, but that's the gradient I'm talking about.
He likes it when you talk back. Tom Sullivan.
Yep, I sure do, and happy Tuesday to you. We are watching the White House where President Trump and Melania and Barron are leaving for Mar-a-Lago for Thanksgiving. He's walking out of the White House moments ago, and he apparently is going to talk about Roy Moore. Let's listen in.
I'll be talking. I can tell you one thing for sure. We don't need a liberal person in there, a Democrat, Jones. I've looked at his record. It's terrible in crime. It's terrible in the border. It's terrible in the military. I can tell you for a fact, we do not need somebody that's going to be bad on crime, bad on borders, bad with the military, bad for the Second Amendment.
But does that mean
Well, he denies it. Look, he denies it. I mean, if you look at what is really going on and you look at all the things that have happened over the last 48 hours, he totally denies it. He says it didn't happen. And, you know, you have to listen to him also. You're talking about, he said 40 years ago this did not happen. So, you know.
Are you going to campaign for him?
I'll be letting you know next week. But I can tell you, you don't need somebody who's soft on crime like Jones.
What is your message to women, sir, during this pivotal moment in our country where we're talking about sexual misconduct? You had your own allegations against you.
Let me just tell you, Roy Moore denies it. That's all I can say. He denies it. And by the way, he totally denies it. Go ahead.
Believe it.
Women are very special. I think it's a very special time because a lot of things are coming out, and I think that's good for our society, and I think it's very, very good for women. And I'm very happy a lot of these things are coming out, and I'm very happy it's being exposed.
Should Al Franken be done now?
I don't know. Look, I don't want to speak for Al Franken. I don't know what happened. I just heard about Conyers 2 minutes ago. As far as Franken's concerned, he's going to have to speak for himself. I'd rather have him speak for himself. What? We had a great call with President Putin. We're talking about peace in Syria, very important. We're talking about North Korea. We had a call that lasted almost an hour and a half. We've just put out a release on the call, but we're talking very strongly about bringing peace to Syria. We're talking very strongly about North Korea and Ukraine. Can't hear you. Louder. Well, I'm not going to get involved in litigation, but personally, I've always felt that that was a deal that's not good for the country. I think your pricing is going to go up. I don't think it's a good deal for the country, but I'm not going to get involved. It's litigation. Thank you, everybody.
All right, so there he goes. He's heading off to Florida for the holiday. You heard him. We don't need a liberal in the Senate. That's bad on crime, bad on the border, bad on the military, bad on the Second Amendment. That Moore, Roy Moore, denies it. He says it didn't happen. Will you campaign for him? I'll let you know next week. AT&T, Time Warner. I'm not going to get involved in that, but I think it's a very bad deal. So, he can't help himself. He's going to comment. So there you go. Everybody's been badgering President Trump about why won't you say anything about Roy Moore. Well, he just did. He didn't say I support Roy Moore, but he might as well have because he said that Moore denies it and that it did not happen and that we don't need a liberal. And he was talking about Doug Jones being a liberal, not good on crime, border, military, Second Amendment. So, all right. So President Trump has planted his flag in the Roy Moore camp. Pretty clearly. And it gets back, if we may, to this question about we're having this great national debate about sexual harassment. And we just had a caller talking about it depends. And it does depend. It depends on the situation. It depends upon this one person can say something that's offensive. Another person can touch somebody that I think that is over the line. You don't touch somebody without their permission. Clearly, their consensual permission. So, are there gradients to all of these stories? Harvey Weinstein, which I'm surprised has really drifted off the front page, but his stories were so egregious, including claims of rape, and yet the New York Police Department, which said they would arrest him reports were they would arrest him last week, never did. So do they really have a case against him? Roy Moore, these women, everybody and their brother says, I believe him. Ruth Marcus comes out from the Washington Post, says, I believe them, but the women that are accusing Al Franken, it's ambiguous. What's so ambiguous? Are there gradients to sexual harassment? The answer is clearly yes. So how do we develop standards and rules so that we all know where we're operating? And I don't know if there is such a thing as standard and rules. If you were to try to design it, I don't know how. I mean, I'll give you my rule is touching, physical. I may say something to you. You may say something to me that I consider offensive. You consider offensive. You may consider it sexual harassment. I don't. But touching is pretty hard to defend. Phone number here is 855-295-6600. Is it impossible to develop standards so that everybody knows what the rules are? Phone number is 855-295-6600. Gordon, thanks for waiting. Welcome. You're on the Tom Sullivan Show. Hi, Gordon.
Hi, Gordon. Hey. Hey, you know, just a simple point, and maybe one of your other callers has made it. You know, all of these sexual assault situations, none of the individuals who were quote-unquote victims had a thing to say about any of this at the time it happened.
Yeah, they did. Almost every one of them told many other people at the time. They did not make a public proclamation, but they told other people.
File charges. Call somebody that actually matters.
Gordon, have you ever worked with anybody, the rape victims, anybody like sexual harassment victims? Because
yes.
I'm telling you, these women are usually terrified. It's the same as Charlie Rose. These are women that are working in broadcast television, and they know if they say something, their careers are toast. And it doesn't matter if they say it a week later, 10 years later. You don't go around bad-mouthing Charlie Rose unless you want your career to go into the garbage. That's why they don't say anything. They tell their friends. Oh, Gordon hung up on that one. Nice response, Gordon. Susan, Carmichael, California. Susan, hi. You're on the Tom Sullivan Show. Hello, Susan.
Oh, hi, Tom. My feeling is the degree of sexual harassment, touching, of course, is way off, but I believe they all should resign or be fired or whatever. I think it's going to be very hard to set guidelines. I work. I have to read the sexual harassment and words. All inappropriate. Now, maybe some women won't be offended or men, but it has to start somewhere.
All right. So, we're going to get cut off here, but why is it that companies are firing these people and Congress is not? We'll be right back.
Connect and engage with Tom Sullivan on air, online, on demand.
You can get my email address, links to my Twitter, Facebook, all that. It's on my website, TomSullivan.com. There's the podcast as well. Two different ways to pull those down if you missed part of the show. Stephanie sends me an email, says, companies versus Congress. Congress is not the boss. Congress is not the employer. The power to hire or fire is with the people. There is a real difference. I'm with you to a point, Stephanie. You are right. They work for us. But they're not the private sector, and they never will be. But this business about the Ethics Commission, and it goes on and on and on about the Ethics Commission. Listen to Charlie Dent, who was on Morning Joe this morning, Republican from Pennsylvania, who says it is rare, because they have the power to throw somebody out, but he says it's rare for somebody to be expelled from the House or the Senate.
Well, I think there should be some concern for some members, not most members, obviously. But I'd like to just say something about resignations and expulsions. You know, as a former chairman of the House Ethics Committee, you know, I've dealt with a lot of these, some of these types of situations. You know, in the history of the House, I believe there are six or seven members who have been expelled. I think four of them were during the Civil War for treason. We had Ozzie Myers during Abscam. And James Traficant. Those are the expulsions. When John Boehner was Speaker, and we had issues of member misconduct or misbehavior, resignations were often forced. And I could probably, I don't want to take all the time, but I could probably list seven or eight resignations that I've had some familiarity with. Members who stepped down for conduct that was short of criminal. Sometimes later it became a criminal, but we dealt with these issues. And in the committee process, the only things we can really do to members on the ethics committee, we have four sanctions that we can impose. Expulsion being the most serious, a censure, reprimand, and a letter of approval. And I will tell you that, and I've dealt with situations where we censured members, reprimanded them, and I will often have people say, well, that's just a slap on the wrist. Anything short of expulsion is a slap on the wrist. Now, I think that's unfair, but that's often the case. But I'll tell you, when you have these situations, often, many members will resign because they realize they need to deal with their own personal issues, and it's hard enough to deal with those issues while at the same time facing a very serious ethics investigation that will cost them a lot of money and cost a lot of aggravation to everybody.
Six or seven have been expelled from the House, but four of them were from the Civil War. Most of the time, they forced them to resign. So, Stephanie, there's your answer. It's a slower process. But at least they should try and make that process much more efficient. And then we just heard from the president about the fact that we don't need a liberal in the Senate, and that the guy, Doug Jones, is soft on crime, the border, military, Second Amendment, and that Roy Moore denies it after all. Well, here's a Doug Jones commercial, which is playing in Alabama this week.
On Roy Moore's disturbing actions, Ivanka Trump says there's a special place in hell for people who prey on children. And I have no reason to doubt the victims' accounts. Jeff Sessions says, I have no reason to doubt these young women. And Richard Shelby says he will absolutely not vote for Roy Moore. Conservative voices, putting children and women over party, doing what's right.
So that plays off of what the president just said, just the opposite. Just the opposite of what the president said. Conservative voices. Let's talk to Steve in Midland, Michigan. Steve, thanks for waiting. You're on the Tom Sullivan Show.
Thank you, Tom. I appreciate that.
You bet.
The point I was making, go ahead.
I didn't say anything. It's all yours. You got the floor.
Okay. Yeah. Point I was making is that, when it comes to, and I'm going back a little bit about, the touching of a girl or whatever, to me, it's got to be, you got to know the person. You're going to hug your mother, you're going to hug your sister, you're going to hug your brother, you're going to hug a colleague that you've
I have hugged female colleagues rarely. Usually when it's, I haven't seen you for a long time, good to see you. And you give them the colleague hug, not the embrace, sexual embrace.
You're not mugging them. No, you're not mugging them. You're hugging them,
Yeah.
It's the pat on the back thing saying, it's good to
right.
see you again.
Right.
Great. Appreciate that.
Yeah, but if you slide your hand up their thigh...
I think that's wrong.
That's what the accusations are.
Right. Yeah, I think my wife would agree with that too.
Yeah, I think most women would.
Fine. Yeah. So I think that it's being over sensationalized. It's like, okay, did he make a mistake? Did he make a problem? Yeah, then fine. Get rid of him. I don't care. I really don't. But at the end of the day, I think my point is that most of us have been taught to be reasonable with your actions. So what reasonable is.
Well, that's always that gray area, and that's what I'm talking about, the gradients. But I, these are accusations that have nothing to do with gray areas. This is out and out physical molesting of women, and that's beyond the gray area for me. Everybody has a different standard. Maybe some people think that's okay. I grabbing a woman while you're getting a photo with them, I've had my photo taken with thousands of women. I can tell you, I have never grabbed one on the rear. Never. Not once. So...
I don't disagree with you, but, you know, I almost think all of a sudden this has become, you know, the target of the day. This is the sensationalism of the whole bit. Has it been going on forever?
Yes.
Maybe.
So is this going to go away and everybody will forget about it 2 months from now?
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. I think that that's the case. So if it's really been going on, and I don't want to say centuries, but if it's been going on for tens of years.
It's been going on centuries.
You know, why is it all of a sudden the hottest topic in the world?
Yeah, no, it's been going on centuries. I'll add that to it. All right, Steve, thank you. I appreciate the call. Brandon in Virginia, we got 1 minute. Can we do it?
Yeah.
Okay.
And Mr. Sullivan, and that's the thing. The thing about Roy Moore, I'm not a big conspiracy person, but I think sometimes things can be in conspiracy. And I was telling you, call taker, that, and this is not true. I don't want you, your audience to even think remotely this, but I could say that, you know, hey, I'm nearly 40 years old, and 30 years ago when I was a 10-year-old boy, that you personally, Mr. Sullivan, molested me. Now, if I said that, wait a minute. No, listen, and if I did enough research on you through Wikipedia, I can tell you, you know, a lot about you and where you've been and your career.
Okay,
and cities
all right.
That you oversee.
Fine, but you're going to have to find 8 or 9 more people that you don't know, that don't know you, to validate that. Then it's no longer an accusation.